Ani ko sama man tu dah. Everybody, this is Armand DeMille with you, with the positive mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Sorry for the delay. So a big question comes up the other day, and I thought it was one worth entertaining, which is about, of course, you know, the love question is always there. Why is the love question always there? We would say love is kind of meaningless. You don't really need it. But the human animal seems to have survived based on its ability to respond to oxytocin. What's oxytocin? Oxytocin is a kind of a brain chemical that makes you feel bonded to each other. Now, when you're bonded to each other, you feel like a team. You feel like a group. You feel like a family. So oxytocin is the feeling of being bonded, and usually the one that we call love. Of course, it wouldn't be any fun to say, I oxytoce you. You know, do you oxytoce me? For some people, having sex is wonderful because you have sex and it's very nice and it's wild. And then after some releases of all kinds of juices, you lay back in the bed and you get flooded with oxytocin. Except some people who want to get up and have pizza right away. But most people, you know, ooh, that's a nice feeling. That's why they do it. So the way that nature built it in for us, so that we would want to reproduce babies, is they gave us sex and oxytocin plus sex, plus all the other chemicals that go along with sex as well. So now this gets very confusing, because if you make me feel oxytoced, I like the T-O-A-S-T, oxytocin. I'll have some oxytocin, but hold the oxy. If you make me feel oxytocin, does that mean that you love me? Does that mean that I love you? So this gets confusing. Now, it starts early on when you're a kid. When you're a kid, you have to look around you, and you have to say, in order to feel good, I got to feel two things. But mainly, I got to feel oxytocin. You know, I've got to feel safe. How do I get to feel warm and fuzzy and safe? Well, safe is more important than warm and fuzzy. But warm is important. Eating is important. Safe is very important because I should not die. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind, starting you off with a very light concept, something that's very light for your mind, nothing you really have to think about very much, except you think about all the time. So now let's go into that for a moment. When you're a kid, you look around and you say, how am I going to get loved? Now, I'm going to now move on to the Sufis. The Sufis, a very wise group of people, if ever a group of people lived. I believe the Sufis had discovered a thing called the Enneagram. They didn't call it the Enneagram, but they called it a kind of way of the question was, how do we get people to worship better? And they came up with a system of understanding people based on 9 types of people. I use the Enneagram as a reference in a lot of the things that I do because it's wonderful. In fact, if you ever pick up the book, The 9 Plants of Desire by Margot Berwin, she wrote, it's called Hothouse Flower and the 9 Plants of Desire. She wrote a book about me, metaphorically, but she used the 9 plants of the Enneagram. Kind of an interesting thing. But let's go back for a minute. You're a child. And you say, how am I going to get loved? Well, if you're the only child, you don't have to do very much to get loved. Right? Because they're all over you. You're the primary thing. They care for you. You're good. As long as your father wanted to have you and he didn't consider you a nuisance, you're going to get by. You don't have to do very much as an only child. But not very few people wind up being an only child. Let's say you become a baby's born. Now you say to yourself, hey, love. Where did it go? They're paying it to this little baby that just came out. How am I going to get this love that makes me feel good? How am I going to get oxytocin when my mother's breast is holding this kid? What am I going to do? Well, you're very smart. You organize. And what you do is you start taking care of the baby. And you become help to your parents. And in fact, if you work at it very hard and you have many children, you become what's called a perfectionist. Now, the perfectionist, which is one of the models of the Enneagram, is someone who spends their life being correct, being organized, being sensible. They focus on standards, on improving themselves, and knowing the rules. That's the kind of person they are, Andrea. They manage their feelings by repressing them, and denial. They channel their feelings into activity, getting things done perfectly. Now, the one thing about these perfectionists is, remember, the reason for this is the way I'm going to get loved. And one of the things they can't stand is when other people don't follow the rules. Because as an older child, you know, you got to follow the rules. Now, when you're an older child and you're a perfectionist and you have a younger child who's getting loved by being imperfect, you get very angry. But then you grow up as a perfectionist and you expect this of people. And then you expect people to love you because you're saying, hey, look how organized I am. Don't you love me for that? Look how beautifully I put everything together. Don't you love me for that? What are you doing coming in here and throwing your jacket on the chair? You know, that you must not love me. And you get the feeling that somebody loves you and you love them based on the amount of organization that is present. If they organize for you, if they work with you organizing you, you're bonded. But if they disorganize, it makes you crazy. And if they disorganize, you have to organize them. How many of you live in a relationship with somebody where one's the organizer and the other's not? Right? You're caught in this place. It's a struggle for love. Now, what happens when two disorganized people get together? One of them gets organized, and the other stays disorganized, almost like it's a deal. So that's one of the ways you do it, is organizing. A second way that people try to get loved and love other people too is they give. They have like their, I am a caring, loving person. I give myself, I give of myself, therefore you must love me. What the hell's wrong with you? How could you not love me? I'm so giving. I'm so nice. Oh, they get trapped so easily because they get disappointed. They get needy and they get angry. So in relationships, the very caregiving person, you know, the person who says, absolutely, if I give you everything, you must love me, they usually don't get loved back. They usually become like, what's the expression? Doormats. you know, the person says the person's with them. They may marry them because it's good to marry a person who's a caretaker because they're going to take care of you. But then you step out on them. Then you have your fun on the outside. And they also focus very much on the needs of others. And they neglect their own needs. So they fall into dishealth. You know, it's a tough thing. But it's how you're going to get people to love you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm talking about how you get people to love you and how, well, you see, now the question is, how do you get to feel love? It's the strangest question in the world. Because I tell you, by the end of today's program, I'm going to direct you to go to your mate and say to whoever your mate is, could you tell me why you love me? And they're going to tell you things that are going to surprise you. Because you think you're being loved for being such a good organizer, or you think you're being loved for being such a caretaker, and they're going to say, I love you for your sense of humor. And you'll say, what? Okay. Oh, yeah, I got a good sense of humor. But you don't know what that means to them. But it's not just what you do. It's who you are. So if people love you, it's for who you are. Now, of course, we can't include children. We shall not include children because it's mandatory. We can't include dogs or cats either. But people, grown-ups, equals, adults. Another way that people try to get loved is by being efficient. They're being capable. They're being outstanding. They focus on their goals. They're always pragmatic. And they know how to present themselves. And they're very important to them is how they look, how they appear. These keep the plastic surgeons in business. You know what I mean? Get me Botox. Do whatever you have to do. Give me implants. Make me look right. I'll work out at the gym. I'm going to have 0% fat on my body or just the perfect 2% fat. I'll have implants where they're supposed to be fat. Do whatever it is. I'm going to look perfect, or I'm going to be perfect at the work I do. I'm going to achieve success. I'll be fabulous, and people will love me because I'm successful, and people will love me because I'm beautiful. Most of the United States is caught in that trap. So you know what happens. I mean, everybody who is really exquisitely gorgeous, if you could imagine having a husband who is like the most handsome husband in the world, or having a wife that's the most beautiful wife in the world, they still step out on you. You know, I was reading something about Cindy Crawford's mate stepping out on her. I'm saying, but that's Cindy Crawford. How could you want different than that? Because it's the truth. No matter how beautiful or achieving or successful you are, there's a piece of the bonding that's not there. And when that piece is not there, that person's going to look elsewhere. So is your mate searching for sex on the outside when they have an affair? No, they're searching for bonding. Can you blame yourself for not giving them the right amount of bonding? No. No, it's just not working. But if you identify that it's the bonding that's missing, you'll find a way back to it. I think, in many cases, sometimes not. So another style of trying to get people to love you is you develop a style of being very deep. I am depth itself. This is a romantic idea. This is the person who is different than everybody else. They wear clothes that are different. They like things that are handmade. They burn candles. They have deep, deep, deep feelings. And they have deep, deep relationships. The word deep appears a great deal in their lives. And they rescue people. They find people to understand them and support their life and dreams. They're usually artists. This is the artistic type. You know, they can't make it in the world, but they are as artists, but they find people to support them as artists. Nicely passionate and sexual at the same time. Right? Beautiful, kind of, you know, they don't challenge too much, except they get very hysterical, very angry, very upset, can go way off the handle, whenever they sense abandonment. So here comes a concept when you're talking about loving and being loved. Loving and being loved is what? Is that thinking that you're bonded, and because you're so well bonded, you believe the person will never leave you? Therefore, loving is a non-abandoned relationship? Right? Is that what loving is? Is loving the fact that I trust you not to leave me? Hey, I love you because I think you're not going to leave me. But then I know people who, whenever the going gets tough, they say, I'm out of here. Right? They do that all the time, guaranteeing that nobody will ever love them. Because you can guarantee if somebody knows that you may leave at any moment, they're never going to love you. Why would they? They'd be crazy. So if you have a crazy person loving you, that's not good at all. That's not really loving you. So the threat to leave, abandonment, is one of the tricks that both the four uses, the romantic uses, they threaten to leave, and people use against the romantic. If you have a romantic in your life and you want to make them do everything you want them to jump through hoops, say you're going to leave. Threaten them. Maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe we should do something else. That's all you got to do is threaten them. And they'll turn over backwards. The trouble with this kind of loving is you have to keep people interested by playing hard to get. And you have to keep people interested by never turning yourself over the whole way, the way the giver does. You know, the giver turns themselves over the whole way. So that's another of the styles. Now, there is one style that says, I give up. Nobody's going to love me. We call this the recluse. We call this the person who is the expert. Now, these people find love in machines, in hobbies, in only things that they do alone. They find a relationship with objects. They say the following. Love, I'm not getting any. So I'm going to go myself, and I'm not going to love myself, but I'm going to be bonded with things. And these are most of your computer. You should use, pardon the expression, geeks. I think that's too derogatory. But computer mavens. They want, nowadays it's computers, or it could be technical, or it could be, you know, just give me my machine. I trust that. I don't trust people on the outside. They're very distrusting. They don't trust anybody. They don't bond. They may find a relationship with somebody, but it's like, usually it's like a two-garage house, where you're in one garage and they're in the other garage. See? And then you get together every now and then for love, sex, dinner, and then you're back in your own garage, in your heart, in your spirit. So this kind of person is the independent person. They focus on the process, objective facts. They always maintain detachment. And that's their form of giving up on love itself. They split off. They're preoccupied with the cerebral. And their feelings, as if their feelings were happening to someone else. They can't even feel them. And they reject the system. They want to work on their own outside of it. They have little patience with rules or procedures. So guess who they drive crazy? The perfectionist. Right? They have a perfectionist who's out there going to fix. And they run into one of these types, you know, who could be a gorgeous kind of beautiful male or female. And you want to make them, you know, get into shape, and you're going to shape them, and they're resisting you. And then the relationship becomes fight and resist and fight and resist, and call it love. So does this give us any hope? Yes. Yeah, by the end of today, I hope you're going to learn quite a bit of very interesting stuff. I'll probably even take your calls a little later, but I want to run through it all with you, okay? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here today and tomorrow. And we'll keep digging in. Now, another way of trying to get people to love you is by trying to maintain a sense of independence. You want someone to rely on, but you're also going to be strong. And this person is a nervous Nelly. They tend to be nervous. They tend to be scared. It's called a 6 in the Enneagram. But they maintain their independence. their flight ability, they tend to be flighty. They're supportive in many kind of ways, but they don't really ever become in charge. And they also need to be a strong one. They're going to be strong. They're going to get relationships with people who are weak in general. And they find this weakness, and they can maintain their strength. They're also very scared. So, I mean, a classic example of this is Woody Allen. Woody Allen looks just like this type, sounds like this type. You ever meet people who are very, very thin and nervous, right? They're usually sixes in the Enneagram. They have a terrible fear of being abandoned and without support. Their terrible fear of being able to be, of being on their own, different than just the other one, the romantic, who has a terror about being abandoned. This one has a terror about being abandoned because they do not believe they could survive. It's just about survival. So I just want to stay alive. And they're desperate to stay alive. So what's difficult is they are committed and reliable, but at the same time always maintaining their independence. So this is a person who says to you, I'll be home at 4 o'clock, and they show up at 6 because they had to take a walk that took them, you know, 2 miles out of the way. And they do that because they're maintaining their independence in the face of the commitment. They're also engaging, but they tend to be very defensive. Isn't this fun so far? Now, you must be saying to yourself at this point, hey, that's me. No, that's me. No, that's me. Well, we're all of this, but there's one of us that stands out the most. One of these in your mind is going to stand out the most as you or your mate. Now, what I hope you're doing, and that's what the hope of the positive mind is, the hope of this program is that you're always trying to identify your own stuff. Because if you get you, then you become freer in the world. But what most people do is they take these programs and they use them to understand other people. And in fact, if they hear me saying something that makes the other person feel bad, they'll put it on a CD and throw it at them. They listen to this program, you know, especially if the program sounds like it's criticizing somebody. All right, whatever you do. We've been on the air a very, very long time. We've been bringing you this for ages. Oh, I discovered something the other day. It's unbelievable. I ran through a family album. I'll put it on my website. It was almost impossible to believe. Here I am on radio, 30 years, all right? Why did I pass up television? Why did I pass up so other many opportunities I had? On radio, 30 years, right? Just keep going and going, doing radio shows. Why do I love it so much? Why do I love to hear it? And I see a photograph with my mother standing in front of a shop. And the shop is called DeMel Brothers Radio Repair. Yes, my parents had a radio repair shop when I was born. And I grew up listening to radio all the time, more than any other kid would, because the radios were always being fixed and tuned. So I got a photograph of this, and I'll put it on the my website sometime today, or at least on Facebook. Unbelievable. There it was. I looked at it, and I said, it can't be there. 242 East 10th Street, of all things, down on the Lower East Side. There I was, listening to radio, and here I am now. Did I decide that love meant being on the radio? That the way to get loved is through the radio. I'm a little kid listening to the radio all the time and watching people love the radio voices. Was I smart or was I smart? I'm Undermill here with you, with the positive mind, as neurotic as everybody else, just being able to see it. It's so cute. So let's move on just a little bit. Another way that people do it in order to be to get loved is they talk about positivity, the positive mind. I am a positive person. I have positive experiences. I'm enjoyable. I have activity. I'm excited. I'm fun. I never settle down. I have a lot of plans. I'm the life of the party. I'm manic. You know, I'm hyper. I'm just filled with energy. Now, people like to invite these people to places because most people are depressed. And if you invite these kind of people to your places, they'll liven the place up. So they believe that they are loved for their energy. And their energy is absolutely what people like. But love is difficult because they never stay in one place too long. They're always moving on, or they have a plan to go elsewhere. They avoid seeing their own pain, their own emptiness, their role in creating suffering for the self and others that they touch, who people who love them, and then they just say, well, I gotta go because Turandot is calling me. Oh, what a wonderful reference that is to you opera buffs. They have an overemphasis on their own needs. They usually are very addicting people. They can take drugs. They always feel burdened by the needs of others. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. I can't handle all this pressure. Oh, it's taking too much, and I'm going to go off and spend the day. I've got all these things at my desk. I don't know what to do. I've got to pay my bills. I think I'll take a walk to the park. Right? And there I'll find a dog that I have to take care of. Right? And that's the style of it. Speaking of which, they love to be loved by animals. Because, you know, there's no love like an animal's love. Is that love? Well, you see, that's that bonding feeling. So it feels like love, but it's not the kind of stuff that we are reaching for here on The Positive Mind. Now, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I have my three assistants in the studio today. I want to give each of them my kudos. First of all, Booker Irvin himself is here. Booker, hi.
Hi there, Armand.
Hey, Booker. Booker. Quite a guy. And Jana is in the studio with us again today.
Hi, Armand.
And Linda's here today.
Hi, Armand.
They help me create the show, make up the show, do the program, bring it to you, and I look at them for feedback. Because if they get confused, Ryan, I know maybe I'm confusing you as well. So what we've been talking about is how we love and how we try to get loved. And what I'm going to talk to you later after our break about is two more styles of how we do this. And perhaps, if we have time, we'll take your calls around that as well. But let's just review for a minute the first few that I did. The first one is the perfectionist. They love by organizing, and they hope that everybody will organize with them, and they think organization and cleaning up perfections is the only way to go. That's what they believe. The second is giving. I'm a giver. I'm a caregiver. I will get love by giving to you, and you're going to love me back. The third one is I'm going to be a performance. I'm going to be beautiful. I'm going to be a picture. I'm going to be ideal, and you're going to love me because I do a good job. The fourth one is I'm a very deep, deep, deep person, and I have great depth, and I'm different, and I'm a little out of reach, and you can't really grab me, and that'll make you love me. And the fifth one is I don't care about love. I'll love my machines. I'll be in my own hobbies. I'll do my own things. And the sixth one is I'm scared, but I'm going to trick you into loving me, but I'm always going to be on my way out the door, right? And the seventh one is I'm the party person. I'm the person you go to when you want to have a good time. And that's why you should love me, because I'm happiness itself. Like I said, if you ever ask people why they love you, you think they'd come up with this stuff because that's the way you perceive yourself, but you'd be very surprised. We're going to take a short break, play you a little music, and when we come back, we'll continue with this adventure.
Thank you.
give you anything but love. Oh, baby, ooh, that's the only thing I've plenty of. Oh, baby, dream wild, scheme of wild, wish your divine, baby, happiness. And I guess the best days, the best of the little. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby, beautiful. Diamond bracelet, Woolworth doesn't sell, my pretty baby butter. Till that lucky day, oh, the lucky day, you know darn well, oh, babe, I can't give you anything but love.
All right, now look at that, how that snuck up behind us. Hold on a second there. So that's Django Reinhardt and some unknown singer in The Aviator. I'll come back to you with the title of that, by the way, if you ever want to check out our music. You can always go to the website, thepositivemind.com. We try to list it in our archives. But now, more tricky stuff. Tricky stuff was going back in time, since I'd like to give you a little history as well as the radio store. There was a woman named Marilyn Ferguson who wrote a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy, Turned the World on Its Ear. This book was written quite a few years ago, but Marilyn was said there's a better way of living and we could all live that way. Well, people didn't really believe it, but some people did. I remember Struthers Scientifics and a few corporations embraced her concepts. And a number of us would get together, she would get these leaders, and we would go give workshops and seminars at different corporations or different sites, trying to introduce some different concept, like listening to people talk, like communicating efficiently, like body work, like standing, like Tai Chi. This was like we were just inventing it. We went around like a team. But Marilyn and her good friend Anita Story, two people that were very, very dear, they gathered. They had gatherings of people, and they invited the best scientists in the world. They would go for just whoever was making a contribution in any form. And I'm telling you, Prince Charles was there, and Jacques Cousteau was there, and names that you would, award winners, people who won Nobel Prizes, and she would have these meetings about once every 2 years. Now, Marilyn Ferguson said, we are fighting World War IV. She said, we're beyond the Third World War. We're on the recovery. We're on World War IV. And she said, we have got to fight World War IV with holding hands around the world. And she would, through telephone, get people to really collaborate. Pretty efficient, pretty fabulous stuff. And I was glad to be a part of the team. But they had a theme song. And it was the schmaltziest theme song you can imagine. But just today, as I was running past finding music for you, I ran into that theme song. And I said, oh, no, I can't play this for the audience. It's too schmaltzy. But here's the thing. I want you to know that when this was playing, thousands of people around the world were holding hands electronically through a telephone. and there would be groups in different countries, in France, in Italy, in Egypt, and they would all be on these phone calls that we had, and then they would sing this song together. So I'm going to play it for you. And by the end of the song, you'll be able to pick up the lyrics, because the lyrics are very simple. It says, it's in every one of us to be wise. Find your heart. Open up both your eyes. We can all know everything without ever knowing why. It's in every one of us by and by. That's it. That's all the lyrics. So Schmaltzy Armand's going to put this on the radio today, and then we'll get back to the other tricks, all right? But I'd love you to hear this. I'd love you to hear it. Maybe if once in my life I bring this back. And in honor of Booker, who, you know, was very close to Anita's story, that he knew what a wonderful woman she was. Hey, Booker, I mean, you saw Marilyn, and you saw Anita and her work and the people around her.
Everyone counted on her. She was the mother of a family.
Yeah, pretty big family,
great.
Too.
Huge.
Huge family. Mm-hmm. Number of people that counted on her one way or another.
One of my best friends, yeah.
One of your best friends. He lived with her for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. That's why Booker was a rocket engineer. Truly, truly working, setting off rockets in the... it's another story. But let's go to Anita's story. And here's the music, my friends, that we all listen to. And it's 4 minutes, but I'll take it away from WBAI and I'll make it up to them somehow. Please don't be ashamed to sing. It's worth it.
Find your heart and open up both your eyes. We can all know everything without ever knowing why. It's in
on the loudspeaker down at Wall Street.
It's in every one of us. I just remember it's like I've been sleeping for years. I'm not awake as I can be, but the feeling's better. I can see through my tears. I've been realizing that I and watching only half of the show. But there are scenery and lights and a cast of thousands who all know what I know. And it's good, 'cause it's so.
Dennis DeYoung, DeYoung, from 10 on Broadway. But you get the idea. So our question, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, if you just tuned in. Our question is about caring and loving and what it is to be loved. If you were to turn around and ask everybody, why do you love me? They would say, why? Because you're my sister. Why? If they said that to me, I'd feel in trouble. If they said, because I love you because you're so nice. But break it down for me, would you? Break it down. What is it? What is it? If it's a love feeling. You know, you could send me an email answering that question about your feeling towards me. Then you could send me that email telling me why people care for you. And then it's a very interesting thing, you know, because it in fact, if we do it on our Facebook, it would be a very interesting chat if somebody doesn't get too wild or crazy on it. It would be interesting to hear people talk off to each other, you know. Well, anyway, so the question is, why and how do people love you? Why do people love you? How do they love you? And I was continuing along with the different styles of loving. I talked about 7 of them so far. Now, there's another one, which is called the self-reliant man in charge, person in charge, strong one. They want to need others as little as possible. They want to be their own person, but they are absolutely powerful at doing things for you. This is the leader. This is the, I'll take care of it. I'm in charge. I'm the head of the heap. They're strong. Basically strong. Sometimes crazy strong. Like a lot of my family, Italian family, mafia types, right? Strong, you know, up there. You know, you'd see it in the characters. This 8 character was what was applauded. Be a man. And that's what being a man was, you know, be this kind of a person, be a leader. You know, Fredo, don't let me see you cry. From The Godfather. So this leader type is very strong. They terrified of being controlled or dominated by anybody. Thus, they fear intimacy and becoming vulnerable by trusting or caring too much because they can't be trusted, because you can't trust anybody. And the worst thing you could do to them is dominate them or control them. Now, you could. Once they become your caretaker, you own them. When one of these people, they become your caretaker, they believe they're keeping you alive. You can always manipulate them. Without you, I'd die. You know, words like that. Or you would get sick. So when you have a dominant personality, and that dominant personality is in your pocket, the way you get them in your pocket is you get them, you get to depend on them, and they know it. Because they don't throw people away. They own people. And they take care of the people they own. But don't try to leave, or you'll swim with the fishes. The trouble with them is they're keeping their guard up. They're never letting anybody get too close. And they toughen themselves against hurt and their need for others. They get callous and more callous and more callous and more callous. I have a friend who has a brother who had all the stuff of a man who could be a sensitive guy, but he just couldn't do it. And you could just see the shell grow on him like leather, you know, like leathery skin grows on your body. And he got more leathery and more leathery and more leathery. And then he started drinking. And so he's either in alcohol, you know, or he's leathered. And through that personality, underneath there is some child who's banging on the inside of his chest, dying to meet him, but probably it will never happen. Maybe when he gets old, you know, maybe if he'll be lucky, you should pardon this, and I know I'm going to get a lot of letters on it, maybe he'll get Alzheimer's. Maybe he'll forget who he is. And maybe spend some time being gentle in life. Sometimes I wonder if that's not what the disease is about. Trying to get some gentleness back. Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. I guess we're not going to take phone calls today, but I will tomorrow. Tomorrow, I make you a promise. We'll try to maybe even continue the theme and take, and if you will, we'll try to get Tom to get this up on Facebook. Maybe we'll get a thread with you people writing in about to each other and about this. So the last of these types, besides the independent type, and maybe I should review for you quickly, the first one is the perfectionist, right? That's the older child in the family. They're going to take care of the other kids. That's how they're going to get loved. The second one is the caretaker. They take care of things, and they take care of you. If I love you, you'll love me back. The third one is the person who is on performance, and they're going to look, and they're going to perform, and they're going to make things. They're going to be successful, and you're going to love them for their performance and their appearance. The fourth one is the deep, deep person who is so deep that, you know, you can't really get at them, and you're always trying to get them to love you, and they're so deep, and they live in a kind of a semi-depression that you're always pulling them out of, right? And the fifth one is given up completely. I'm not going to love anybody. Nobody's going to love me. I'm going to love my things, my objects, my hobbies. I'm going to practice in my basement. And the sixth one is I'm scared. I'm scared and I'm running around and I'm going to be independent and I'm just not going to let anybody get at me because I'm scared. I'm a rabbit. And, you know, rabbits don't stand still. They may procreate. I know a lot of sixes who have a lot of kids. But nobody controls them. They're always in an exit. Or the seven, the other one, who is this type who is always a party person. They're a person of excess. They eat too much. They sleep too much. They party too much. They drink too much. They have too many plans. But they're always filled with energy. Always positive energy, positive energy, positive energy. They never feel too bad. They don't let pain come in. They look at you with sympathizing eyes, and every time they see you in too much pain, they're wondering where they're going to go next to share their pleasure. So that's another style. And the last one I spoke about is the boss, the controller, the one who's in charge. And this is, you know, this is as good a review of the Enneagram of that we've ever presented to you. But there is a couple of books out there called The Wisdom of the Enneagram by Don Riso and Russ Hudson. I think that's kind of the best one out there, that if you pick it up, you really go through this in detail because it goes through it in much, much more detail and teaches you a lot. And I believe if you're somebody who wants to get ahead in life, learn the Enneagram. Learn it, and you'll spot it all around you. So the final type of the love-getters is called the nine. And they always, this is your best supporter. This is a person who supports other people. They find your positive aspects and you, your environment. They help you idealize your world. They don't like anger too much. In fact, they dislike anger so much that they're always putting out fires. And the majority of firemen, believe it or not, people who do that profession are nines. They're this type of person, putting out fires. And they put out fires everywhere. They put out fires at home. They put out fires with their children. They put out fires in school. They put out fires. That's my job. My job is to make sure nobody gets too angry. They have deep commitments. And sometimes when they make a commitment, they make a bond so thick that you can't even tell who's who anymore. A lot of these people, when they love, they change their names. You know, you've seen people combine their name. Like if my name is Tony and I love Maria, I become Tony Maria. You know, and we are Tony Maria. And you put it on your license plate, you combine it. So this is called fusion, and they merge. Now, there's a problem with this. The problem with it is they always have an exit. They have an exit clause that you have nothing about, and the exit is passive-aggressive anger. They have ways of breaking away from you in ways that you can't even imagine that you would hold them responsible. And the way they would do it, for example, is the best, most popular way I know. Somebody gets sick. Either their mother gets sick or their father gets sick, and they have to pay attention to their mother and father and therefore leave you behind. And they spend more and more time taking care of their parents. Or, worse than that, an old girlfriend shows up who's sick. And this person says, look, what could I do? I once had a relationship with her. I got to take care of her, right? And then they, see, there's nothing you could say about it. So this passive-aggressive way of breaking the relationship is amazing because the person on the other side of it is always waiting for them to return. But they're not coming back. They're forming a bond somewhere else. And they don't know it. They don't know they're caught in this trap. Sometimes, no matter what our style is, we're lucky. And you find the right person. And you hone in. And you find a real love somewhere. And that's, you know, that's great. It's great. It's a great combination. But it's usually not till you're really ready. And it's not until you've made a lot of mistakes. And it's not until you've given up on it. So once you give up on needing it, then you open the door for it to come along. So this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. I'll be back with you tomorrow, my friends, at 1 p.m. And, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. So if you would send an email to Armand@thepositivemind.com or at BrainLink, Armand@BrainLink.com, BrainLink.com, or go on to Facebook and let's chase each other around a little bit. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1, my friends. Bye-bye.